Welcome to Trinity Radio. I'm Braxton Hunter, and along with me is
Jonathan Pritchett.
And today on the show, we are discussing the nature of everything. The nature of time. Time, it has been said, is what keeps everything from happening at once. When you think about it, this definition is probably as good as any other. Today we're going to be talking about the nature of everything, and you thought I didn't mean it, but I did. And I want to start off by asking the question, what is the nature of time? You know, Jonathan, there are people in the world who have two theories of time, at least. And that is A theory and B theory. You're familiar with A theory and B theory. Can you give me a breakdown of some sort in a Jonathan Pritchett sort of way?
Okay, A theory, in a very simplistic way, is the idea that time moves forward in one direction. The only time that exists is the present. The past no longer exists. It just has effects into that can be visible for the present. And the future does not yet exist.
Yes.
B theory, and I guess there's two types of B theory. There's a theistic version of it and just a naturalistic version of it. But B theory, in a sense, is that all time is basically an eternal now. And
yeah.
So the past, the present, and the future are all one.
I like to think of it, and so that we do have a point of reference,
yeah.
I like to think about it like God is out here.
Yes.
So we're going to go with the theistic sort of way of thinking.
Yes.
And he's looking at what amounts to a snow globe.
Yes.
That is the physical universe. And in that snow globe is time, space, and matter. But time, he's seeing the whole timeline from beginning to end,
yes.
The end of the world or whatever, all at once. So he could put his finger over here, and it's July 4th, 1932. Or he can put his finger over here, and it's the first century. Or he can put his finger here, and it's for us, the future.
Right.
But for him, it's all right there all at once.
Yeah, it's everywhere and every when for God.
Because all of those times are equally real.
Yes.
It's just that we happen to be experiencing this point in the snow globe or on that already completed timeline. Now, I like the B theory of time, though I'm not a B theory.
Yeah, it makes for fun movies, like The Arrival, for example, where they're learning to communicate with the aliens, and because of the way that they use language in a kind of circular way, it reprograms the way that they perceive time.
Yes, and you just ruined the movie for everyone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah, but there's enough stuff out there about what it's about.
Watch something else.
Yeah. No spoiler alerts here. We just assume that our audience has either watched it by now or don't care. The movie's been out for a long time.
But this is a good point because...
So it makes for good movies.
A B theory of time is the only theory on which time travel is... Well, at least between A and B theory of time, B theory is the one on which all time travel movies or theories are possible.
Yes.
Because you can't go somewhere that doesn't actually exist, right? I can't go into that room of dancing penguins out there because there is no such room out there. So if there's... Well, Schrodinger would say there both is and isn't until I open that door.
See, everything.
but see, the thing about it is only on the B theory of time is time travel possible. So we like that. We would like that to be true in that 11-year-old boy sort of way because we want time travel to be true.
Or in a lot of
flux capacitors.
Or in a lot of systematic theologies affirm that. I think I go with William Lane Craig on this, though. I do like the sense of God.
Let's back up and make it clear again.
Okay.
So A theory of time, it's linear. The past no longer exists. The future does not yet exist. And the only thing that really exists temporally is this time right now. It's a straight line, so to speak.
Yes.
Whereas B theory of time, it's all already there, in which case, theoretically, you could travel to a different point on that timeline because it's also equally real. Now, why do you go with William Lane Craig? And then I'll tell you why I go with William Lane
Craig. Well, I go with William Lane Craig that God... In eternity, sans creation, is timeless. But at the point of creation forward, God is also in time because I think God knows what time it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think that tensed truths are real, are real things. And there's too many problems and contradictory things that come up with respect to B theory in theology. I know that we talk about language of God transcending time. He can act both in time and he transcends time. And that may be one of those metaphysical compliments that's unnecessary, you know, kind of like Jonathan Edwards' occasionalism. Is just trying to pay God too many metaphysical compliments that it just, it's kind of...
Or like our Calvinist friends do with sovereignty or something. They're like, he's only sovereign if he controls everything. Otherwise, he's not sovereign. It's like, well, that may sound high and lofty, but you could be wrong.
And there's a lot of problems with that.
The problem
of evil, for example. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, okay. But yeah, so those are primarily
everything.
The reasons. Yeah. Those are primarily my reasons. I'm open to other arguments. I haven't been convinced of any so far.
Well, one good problem with, or one good thing we can point out is if 1932 is real, where is it real? Well, I mean, because it took place theoretically here, right?
Yes, and if you answer in the mind of God, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
That gets a whole other set of problems.
Yeah.
Because... that can't be the case, or otherwise, why wouldn't now just be real only in the mind of God instead of being an actual cosmos?
Right.
Right. And then that gets us into panentheism and all kinds of other stuff.
All right, so time is an interesting thing. Yeah. The reason I bring it up is because, you know, church people often have very interesting concepts of time. They've heard people say, and we talked about this last year, I think, on another episode, but they hear people say things like, God is timeless, or, you know, God, time isn't real
or
for God.
Or you're already in
like
heaven,
that.
Or you're already in your resurrected body,
right.
Things like that. Because there's certain passages that says you're seated up there in Christ, but then they just kind of...
You're seated up there in Christ.
Right. The in Christ part gets
right.
It's as sure in God's mind that it will come to pass.
Yeah.
But that's different than saying it exists right now, that you are right now glorified and in the everlasting. Because you can't be glorified and not glorified at the same time.
But they'll end up saying, and that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But they'll bring up another thing. I've heard this so many times. I heard this when I was a kid, and I was like, hey, yeah, that is interesting. What will that be like? And they'll say, in heaven, there will be no time, because time will be no more, right?
Yes.
There'll be no time. So what will music be like? We can't even imagine, because music is temporal. And how will we do things? What will movement be like? And all that, because you always think in temporal moments and things like that. It's not to say there won't be a timeline in heaven and that time will still be occurring. Time was a good thing. It's a part of what God made in the physical universe.
And
called it good.
So, yeah,
it's not that there will be no time. It's that this period of time will
come
to an end.
I'm not a fan of this idea of a timelessness in eternity for, you know, us. I think that...
Because it's impossible.
Right. And I think that my friend, Chad Meeks, I think he is right. He's a philosopher, graduated PhD in philosophy from Southwestern. I think that he is right that timelessness is a great-making property of God. And I would also assert that it is an incommunicable attribute to anything external to him.
He says that? Chad Meeks says that?
Chad Meeks says that. Chad Meeks is awesome.
You're right, Chad Meeks.
So, but... I'm not quite sure where he is on the A theory and B theory now, but I think what follows from that definitely, and I think he would at least agree with this, that the new heavens and the new earth is going to be an unending amount of time, but it will be a succession of moments that just never end. That's what I believe. I think that's
If you say that time will be no more, and you mean by that some kind of hyper-literalism that says there won't be time.
Right.
Well, then the term everlasting becomes meaningless, because everlasting is implying something is lasting, and lasting in that sense would be temporal.
Yeah. One other thought that whenever people try to depict timelessness, like if you've ever watched the current sci-fi show, The 12 Monkeys, they're trying to... It's incredible science.
I saw the Brad Pitt one from back in the 90s.
Yeah.
The movie.
Well, this is what...
I can't recommend it. I don't judge the actions of a teenager. I don't know whether I should have watched it or not.
Well, I thought it was okay. Brad Pitt did a pretty good performance. Bruce Willis did.
He always
good.
Does. They always do.
But the show has way surpassed the movie. And I know it's a cult classic, and I don't mean to, dump on it.
Where are you going with this?
I like the 12 Monkeys film, but I like the television show a lot better. And when they try, you're watching a movie, or you're watching film, right? Mm-hmm. You're watching this television show, and they're trying to depict timelessness, which, when you think about it, as you're watching something, you can't depict it. Even if they were to freeze the frame, you're just watching a still frame.
Yeah.
But what they try to do is they have this, there's this house, and they're trying to depict timelessness, and they keep trying to show the house collapse and build up and collapse and build, like it's all simultaneous.
That's not timeless.
But that's not timeless. But it's impossible for anyone to try to capture timelessness, in a motion picture
or
film.
It's visually ineffable.
Right. I mean, I guess you could say, well, what about a photograph? A photograph captures a moment of time, right? And that moment is frozen in time as a visual image.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how reality is. When you're trying to illustrate the reality of timelessness, a photo won't get it done.
Yeah, and the photograph itself, if you want to go on another level, isn't timeless either because it's aging. The photograph is aging.
It's not only aging, but it is taking a snapshot of a moment in time. So it's by definition not timeless. Yeah.
But church people do interesting things with this sort of thing, and I don't know if it's church people listening to their pastor and their pastor says these kind of things, or if people just kind of are coming up with their own ideas as they're listening to their pastors. Pastors have a hard job, They've got to communicate things they learned in seminary or from their own life experience living for the Lord. And it's a tough job in that respect.
Yeah. Or in my case, some of them might have my issue where you're trying to remember things you learned in the seminary but have forgotten.
Yeah.
And so, you get asked these questions on the spot and you're like, well.
Yeah. I've had people ask me, and the biggest mistake I made, and we talked about this on the episode on evangelism and apologetics, we talked about this because I always say this. I used to make the mistake of giving an answer that I didn't have.
Right.
So I'd say something, and I look back and I think to my, when I think of something, I actually do. I actually try to contact on Facebook, whoever. If I remember something now that I said in 2003.
You're that hung up.
I'll go. Well, because I don't know, but that I started a chain reaction of beliefs in them that has now developed into a cult.
And because you can't go back in time,
can't go back in time. Hey, that's good.
So this is why
you show up to this show.
That's right.
So church people got a hard thing, and theology, communicating theology to the masses. Is part of what the preacher does. I think often the doctrinal things, using the word doctrine the way the New Testament does, it uses it two different ways. Some of the doctrine in the pastorals is moral stuff, right? Yes. Moral living, just living the good Christian life. And we always see doctrine and we immediately, are you trying to make yourself taller?
No, I already am taller than you when we sit.
What's up with that?
I don't know, because you're like a foot taller than
me. Am I not sitting right in the chair?
That's
but when we stand,
posture.
Is this not the way it is when we stand? Or am I taller
we'll
when we stand?
Up.
Let's stand.
So you're like, he's taller than
I'm taller. Okay, but when we sit.
Yeah, you look. Or something's really wrong with the floor in here and the leveling's going to buckle on us.
I'm concerned now. I don't know.
Let that thought fester for a minute.
Yeah. Well, but.
This building.
What was I saying?
You were talking
theology,
about.
Something about. Oh, doctrine. So when we see something like doctrine in the Bible, we always think it's talking about. Systematic theology, right?
Or
something like that.
Proper.
But the thing is, it's not always talking about that. Sometimes it's talking about moral living, the Christian life.
Yes.
And that's a lot of what a pastor does.
Yes. There's more doctrine relating to moral and ethical behavior in Scripture than there is. The Bible says a whole lot more about loving your neighbor than it does about
understanding the nature of justification.
Right.
But those are important things. And so part of what the pastor has to do is communicate those very difficult, sometimes theological issues that we talk, that people debate.
Yes.
That
like
you're going to debate later this year.
Yeah, I'm debating with Leighton Flowers and I are debating two gentlemen on the biblical view of free will. Keep trying. Eat your Wheaties.
Yeah, so we have these theological debates because it is contentious. And if you'll go back and watch my Grids video on this channel, you'll see what I mean.
It can be contentious.
Even in a particular congregation, they have a grid that is the denomination's grid largely, but guess what? Everybody brings a little piece of their own, and it's a unique grid. And so that's a difficult thing. The pastor's got to guard against that sort of thing. Okay, let me let the Schrodinger's cat out of the bag, because he is there. And what we've been doing so far...
You know, there are people that, like, in our audience, that you're going to actually have to explain Schrodinger's cat.
Nah, they know. I've got Google. But when you use Google, go listen to our episode on Don't Google God.
Right.
Because we've gotten to the point now where we can reference previous episodes.
Yes.
Because there are dozens. But I'm trying to do something here. So just chill for a second, Prime, and let me say this. So... what you've been experiencing so far this episode for the past 16 minutes is kind of a plethora of what we do on this show, or what we have done for the past few years, which is to say, we talked a little bit about big picture stuff like the nature of time and worldview issues and things that people argue with philosophy and theology and how it relates. And then we talked a little bit about church people and what's going on in the local church and how they're understanding things and what's going on there. And then we talked about what the pastor has to go through. And we talked a little bit about denominations. Because I wanted to have that little, 16-minute now conversation or discussion to give you a picture of what we do all in a little short period of time. Not because I'm advertising it to you. Because if you made it this far, maybe you're not the person we have to advertise for. But instead, we want to ask for your help. Don't worry. We're not asking you to lay your hand on the screen and be healed. We're not asking you to send us money, nothing like that.
Not yet,
anyway. I'm not a televangelist, and I don't have the hair for it anyway. But what we want from you is in the comments, yes.
If you want to send money, though, we'll take it.
Yeah, we're not sending it back. But in the comments stream of this YouTube video, we want you, don't do it on Facebook. Well, okay, fine, do it. No, don't do it on Facebook. Do it on the, and if you're listening to this as audio, stop it and go over to the YouTube page and find this video and comment, because we need you to tell us. We sit down sometimes, and sometimes we lay out a really good plan of what we're going to do in an episode. And we get some articles together that are, relevant, and we think a little bit about what we're going to say. But more often than not, what it is we sit down before we record an episode, like we did today, and we say, what are we going to talk about?
Yes, because we're actually not as interesting as what you may think, if you do think we're interesting. I was just talking to a friend of mine who's thinking about starting a podcast. And one of the things is, well, if you keep doing it over a long period of time, it's either going to become repetitive or you're going to run out of ideas. And of course, sitting on my bookshelf is, the great ideas in the Britannica section.
Which is all philosophy, right?
Well, it's philosophy, literature, political theory, science, whatever. Because it's the great books of Britannica, the Western world that the Britannica put out. And so I was doing it as a ha-ha joke, and I'm like, yeah, but, I'm trying to get on him, but he doesn't really know what it's like behind the scenes for people who do this. And yeah, I can totally relate, because we sometimes, the well dries up too. And I think part of the problem is sometimes that you and I have our best conversations when we're not on camera. And then we forget that we talked about it.
Yeah.
we've moved on from that. And we're like, some of those things could probably have been really good shows.
You don't know how many times we're sitting around talking, and maybe there's another person, like Sensei Roth is present, and we'll say, this would have made such a good podcast.
Right.
Everything, but if you try to replicate it, it's just
it doesn't work.
And we don't remember.
Right. And they're like, probably have some students saying, "Yeah, y'all sitting around talking about what you're going to talk about instead of grading our papers."
Well,
we do actually work as well.
Yeah, so it's like this.
We're not just sitting around all day long.
It's like Leighton Flowers thing that he said. I mean, he's not the first person to say it, but he's the first person I heard say it. Whenever people get on to you for not doing other things they think you should be doing, like, well, you shouldn't be talking about this ivory tower philosophy stuff. You ought to be out reaching somebody for Jesus. Yeah. Okay, well, do you watch SportsCenter? If you watch SportsCenter, you have a hobby or time that you chill and do what you want to do. Guess what? Braxton Hunter doesn't watch. Do you watch SportsCenter?
No.
I don't watch SportsCenter. We don't care. You know what we're thinking about? Theology and apologetic. Not because we're so spiritual, because often that is not a spiritual place. Just join a Facebook group and find out how spiritual it is.
Right.
As we're having this discussion, I can see a woman and a man, they know who they are, I'm sure, having an argument heated about a theological matter. So, you know, it's not that we're so spiritual, but that's our hobby. We like talking about God and what he's like. And so for that reason, I don't remember how this paragraph began.
Well, we were talking about sitting around all day long yammering, and then
I didn't want people to
get the impression that we don't actually do anything.
No, great. You just sent me a whole load of dissertations. I got it. But the thing about it is, this is what we do for our hobby.
Yep.
And to promote, you know, our ministries in the school and what God's doing and all that sort of. We don't have to defend ourselves to you. If you're this far in, you're on board, right?
I mean,
they're already in. But that's why we need you, because there's something you, if you're watching this right now, found valuable about all of this.
Yeah.
And we don't know what it is.
We don't. And in fact, I got to love our longtime followers.
Yeah.
Because we have in the past been bad at consistency. We've been bad at, producing content on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Our show production values have had an ebb and flow. And so they've kind of stuck with us, too. So I'm always curious as to, of all the people, especially now with YouTube, we're not the most unattractive people to stare at on camera.
We're definitely not the most unattractive.
But we're not the most attractive either, and yet, so that can't be it.
It could be part of it.
Yeah.
Let's give ourselves a bone here.
But
they'll tell us if...
Yeah, they'll be like, no, it's really not that. So we do want to know what it is about this show that keeps you guys and gals coming back to watch or listen to our musings on life, the universe, and everything.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, now, all joking aside, I know we joke a lot on the show, but honestly, what we've heard from a lot of people, I'm amazed that anybody ever turns up to listen to me do anything.
Right.
But they do. And what some have said is that it's our dynamic.
Yeah.
That there's something about the way we communicate with each other that people enjoy watching. And people have said before, well, you guys could be talking about, you know, tomatoes versus tomato, and I'd still enjoy listening because I like the dial. I don't know if that's it. That's probably not it. I mean, that's probably not it for you, but that's something people have mentioned. Mm-hmm. But if, for example, some of you say, or most of you were to say, well, because I've always called this a worldview show. We talk about worldview, and we talk about worldview in light of pop culture most of the time, and theology in light of pop culture. It's a worldview show.
Right. But if you don't tell us what you like about the worldview show.
But if you told us, if they told us, I like the apologetic stuff, for example, more than anything else. I like hearing you guys talk about skepticism and other religions and things like that, and how we as Christians can respond, and when a movie comes out, what it has to say, and all that.
Yeah.
If that's what you like, well, then what we might do with this show going forward is make it more of a more focused on that.
If you guys comment and let us know what you like about it, if not, let's just call the whole thing off.
But if you told, well, let's give them a sample of what the show might look like based on this information. So if it was apologetics mostly. Do what?
Nothing.
If it was,
I'll talk to the audience.
If it was apologetics, we might start doing more about different arguments for God's existence and things like that that we've done before, but it's been years since we did that on this program.
Our jazz fans got it.
And we might, my hands? Is it my hand doing too much?
No.
You can't have these. I'm going to watch this later.
Yes.
But here's the thing. If you told us you like more of the New Testament study, more of the theology stuff, and less of the, we might go that way, and we might start talking about what's going on in the world of theology. But if you would say, we just like it all, man, well, number one, you won't have been very much help to us, but you got to be specific.
Yes. You can like it all and yet have a preference, right? That's the key. Tell us your preference, and you're going
to
get...
And give us an example, maybe. Point to your favorite episode.
Yeah, you're going to get a smattering of all of it anyway, but You know, if the more people say more of one thing, then we'll probably lean into that a little bit more. But we'll always be us. We'll always be, you know, we're not trying to.
Yeah, we're not going to change our personalities. Right. What are you asking for? Yeah. I'm not going to grow hair where I can.
You tried that once and, well.
Just let us be us, okay?
You need to show a picture of that.
I'm not putting a picture
of it.
If I do, I'll put it from the front and it'll be fine. Because from the front, it didn't look like I was losing hair. It's when you walked behind me, it looked weird.
Yeah.
Now you got me thinking about whether I should do that again.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
All right.
All in favor of you.
So what we want you to do right now, can they comment and the video still keep playing? I don't know. Maybe you're already commenting. Yeah. Maybe you've already done that. We will respond to your comments. If you comment on our show, listen, we're so desperate for attention that we will
comment to every single person.
No, that's not what I'm saying. They know we're not desperate because guess what? We've just stopped doing this show for long periods of time. We're not desperate. We can walk away. We don't want to walk away. We enjoy it. We think there's something special about this. And we will respond to every YouTube comment you make if it's sincere because we're not huge YouTubers right now. Yeah. And I said right now because there may be a time down the already existing timeline when we are. But we're not yet. And we can respond to every comment and we will. So let us know. I don't know how much steam is left in this particular podcast.
Well, you said everything.
We did cover everything.
No, we really didn't.
Well, we covered everything that we covered.
Yeah.
All right, so like, comment, and subscribe. And right at the end of this video, after I hush and he hushes, you're going to see a screen. And on that screen, that very black screen, you will see an option for watching another episode, checking out one of the topical videos, or subscribing to the channel. If you're not already a subscriber, we really would appreciate that because we are just getting started. And when one person subscribes, it's not like one of these big channels, you know, where when somebody they get like 1,000 subscribes a day. We don't get that. And so when we get one subscribe, I go running down the hallway.
I don't even know if half our audience knows we're on YouTube, even listening to us from the thing talk about us being on YouTube now.
We can go there. And guess what? We do have enough subscribers now that I have a custom URL that they can use.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about it. It's youtube.com/C/BraxtonHunter. YouTube.com/C/BraxtonHunter. Go to the YouTube channel and make a comment. We'd really appreciate it. We will know and we will value it and we'll value your opinion unless their opinion is
negative.
I just thought the guy with the prime in front of him could say that. I thought you were going to say stupid.
Well, if you do think we're stupid, though.
No, then I thought they made a stupid comment.
Oh, well, if they make a stupid comment about us, that would be stupid because then I would reply. And
guess what? We can delete that mess.
Or I can respond to it, and it'll be there forever, and everyone and your own mother will hate you because of what I say.
They won't hate them. They'll hate you.
Well, no, I'll make them hate
them. Oh, you're going to go on a one-man mission to destroy them?
Yeah, I will just – they're my own – because I'm mean. I'm terrible.
This is where I would turn on the sign.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm harmless.
So here's what we want you to do. Right now, what we want you to do is we want you to consider your life choices. And we want you to consider whether or not you should be a student at Trinity College of the Bible and Theological Seminary. And then remember that we answered that question for you with the answer yes. You need to come to Trinity. Go to trinitysem.edu, trinitysem.edu. The link is in the show notes. And the link is in the description on YouTube. And go there and take a look at what we have to offer. And you're going to find, I think, that
we offer everything.
If you didn't hear us talk about everything here, trust me, we've got hundreds of hours of audio and video.
Yes.
And you'll hear about everything.
Everything.
And you go check that out. But listen, if you don't want to learn formally, you are incorrect. But what you can do is you can learn casually at Trinity by auditing some courses. We've had listeners to this program courses, and you can do that. And you can hear more from Dr. Pritchett or from myself if you want to. And lastly, if you really want to learn even more casually than that, you can go to BraxtonHunter.com. There's an ongoing blog. You can start learning how to do apologetics there. You can learn how to use apologetics for evangelism. You can watch videos. You can get older episodes of this podcast. Maybe you don't know this yet. Maybe you just started listening recently.
There's good debates there.
There are debates there. There's also a debates page, too, on the BraxtonHunter.com. So we want you to check that stuff out. By the way, I've got books that I'd be interested in you checking out. And maybe you're watching this video further down the timeline. And for you right now, it's already 2025. And guess what? That means that Dr. Pritchett has three books on Amazon, and I don't even know what they're about. And you can go check one of those out too. But we want you, we want to be a resource for you. We want, honestly, all joking aside, we want this to mean something for you, not just be something fun you listen to. We want it to be something that benefits you, and we don't know how to benefit you, and so you need to tell us. So we hope you'll do that. Yeah. You have anything else to say, Dr. Pritchett?
To everyone who has been listening to us for a while, thank you.
Yeah, honestly. Seriously.
And to all the new people, thank you. And thank you.
It's time.
Yeah, we should be done by now.